We are in 1 John, again, just for a couple minutes here. We are in 1 John chapter 4, and we're trying to get into chapter 5, but we can't get out of 4. We've had too much stuff in there. Remember chapter 4, loving the brethren, Wednesday night, and then I reviewed it this morning. Should I review it again tonight? I mean, the thing about they will have to love the brethren during the tribulation, but... And that's fine, because they will be at war. They'll be struggling to stay alive. And you forget about all the personality quirks, and you know who is a serious brother or not. Is the one who's going to be, you know, living with that kind of tribulation, with that kind of problems in their lives. And for those that don't agree with the tribulation thing, I guess, I don't know how you can deny it, but they do. But, you know, what Paul teaches about loving their brethren is not quite as far as what John and Peter teach. So we put them together, then if we don't love the brethren today, then we're not of God. That's what 1 John is saying. But like today, we don't even know if their brethren are brethren. That's the problem. In those days, they will know. And you will know. And you will be gathering together. You won't miss the time everybody gets together, because you need to be encouraged and provoked into good works. They will need the encouragement big time. But now, this morning we got into commandment. And again, it wasn't a complicated issue at all. The funny thing, I guess you look at it as a funny thing, but where Paul talks about using the word commandment, he says that it's by the commandment of God that he's doing what he's doing. Then there's that verse where he says, if you really think you're a spiritual guy, let them acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. We're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're not talking about the Levitical law as such and the commandment. We went through Paul for the commandment. So all he said was the commandment. Opened our eyes to sin. Then we read in Proverbs where, anyway, so let's get onto the new stuff here. So that was the stuff this morning about commandment. It's not, there are different commandments in John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Hebrews, and Jude, and James. Those are different commandments, and they're not like the Ten again. They're commandments. It's what God speaks. It's what he says. And Paul says very little about it, but what he does say, they were given to him. He's the man that is supposed to be speaking for God by God's commandment. So we look to Paul. That's the command of God. So if you think you're a Christian, you're a spiritual man, then acknowledge that what Paul writes to us are the commandments of the Lord. And those are the ones that Paul wants us to follow. Now, tonight, we've got two verses still that have the word commandment in there, and they'll make you think. And they'll really challenge you to think about, now, wait a minute, this doesn't quite make sense here. Well, let's look at one of them here. Let's go to 1 Timothy. This is what Paul uses the word commandment. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And what we're going to be doing here, and maybe I should make it into a series, I don't know, we'll see what happens here. But we're going to go 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we have to realize, remember, one of the things I say about Corinthians. Corinthians is one of those, well, Paul speaks in tongues, Paul heals, people touches handkerchief and he gets healed, and Paul teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, all that stuff's in there. They have the Lord's Supper, he baptizes, all that stuff is in early Corinthians. Well, how can that be? Well, honestly, either all the stuff is merged into one bucket, like everybody says out there, and they just pick and choose, which I don't believe is true at all, or Corinthians has to be rightly divided in the fact that 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, now when all that stuff is done in part, all that stuff, you know, it's there as God allows it to the level people can handle it. That's fine. The gifts are, discernment of spirits, you know, all that stuff. Where, is there no audio? Is anybody not, are we, not, am I not on audio right now? Okay, we have to realize that first, that Corinthians has to be rightly divided. the stuff that takes place in Paul's early ministry, in fact, in Paul's ministry period, is before the King James Bible. And we have to recognize that. The knowledge that God gave those people in those days was from God. They didn't have a Bible. So we realize that we have to write, and I say to people, you got to rightly divide. Just, you know, even you got to rightly divide Paul in a form, you know. Call it that. Call it what you want. Just understand the placement of all those things. Well, the same thing is in Timothy. You've got to rightly divide Timothy. Well, what do you mean? Well, it's very simple. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, for example. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 is really written to women. Okay, so we break down Timothy into men and women. Now, men need to know it for their wives or for their daughters as a father. This is where they should be trained towards. Okay, and verse 8 is written to men. But women need to know that because they need to know what God expects out of a man. So she can be the help, meet to do that for him. Not to do it with him, not to be as good as he is. You know, I've said for years, you know, a good wife helps her husband be who he needs to be and do what he needs to do. But that doesn't mean you get on the roof with your husband, you know, immodest and be the strong man. That's not what God is talking about. You know, hand him the hammer. I mean, you know, this is just an illustration. You know, help him. Bring him his coffee. Help him with his stuff. I mean, yeah, there's how you're there. You know, help him with meals and encourage him and hold the ladder. I mean, yeah. But to get up there and be his help building a house or construction. Well, we're living in the days where the women are just as strong. Hey, we're living in the days where women are stronger. Because the men, well, hey, if you want to do it, honey, you go fix the roof. That's how we've become as men. We're really sad. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, for example, 12, 13, 14, and 15, that, you know, men need to know that, but he's talking to women there. I will therefore that the younger women marry. That's really directed to women. Again, the father needs to be teaching their daughters to go that direction and have them do that around the house as such. And husbands, that's what you would, that kind of a thing. And if you don't ever get married, like Paul says, and I'll throw that in the bonus one if we have a chance here tonight, what Paul says about that commandment, about, you know, whether you should be married or not. That's a whole other ballgame. We might get tonight or not, we'll see. But here's what we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 3, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He says, as I besought thee... Oh, wait a minute here. What are we talking about here? Go to verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. So the epistles to Timothy, or the epistle of Paul to Timothy, are really that. They are to Timothy. Okay, just let that little statement fit in there, and you'll see what I'm showing here. Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Okay, so now, this is him telling Timothy what to teach others. So we still learn, we still follow Paul, we follow what Paul teaches to Timothy. Okay, I mean, that's making some sense here a little bit. Now, let's read this again. So he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than God the edifying, which is in faith, so do. Okay, that's what he's told Timothy to tell other people. Okay, that's fine. Now, the end of the commandment is charity. There's that word commandment, see? The commandment. Now, the end of the commandment, this is the end of the whole thing here is charity out of a pure heart. Not just charity, but charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, he's teaching this to Timothy. from which some, having served, swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. So now he's talking to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, you know, Timothy, when this thing is all said and done, the bottom line here is charity out of a pure heart. Again, not just charity. He's telling this to Timothy. Keep this in mind, Timothy, when you're out there teaching these people. And of a good conscience. And of faith unfeigned. Is our faith unfeigned? Do we have a good conscience? Only because of him. Is our faith unfeigned? Is it fake? Is it real? But what he's doing here, see, is he's talking to Timothy. From which some, meaning he's referring to people outside who he's talking about here, have turned aside, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whether they affirm, whereof they affirm. But we know, you know, Paul and Timothy, we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully. Okay, so the law still exists. God doesn't get rid of the law, it's just not there for the believers. The law has its good place. You know, in Galatians chapter 3, it says that, you know, these guys need Christ. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, Christ took care of that. And he makes us righteous. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Oh, these are horrible people. Certainly wouldn't be meaning me. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars. Ooh, whoops. Boom. All men are liars. So suddenly we become part of this awful crowd. For perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust, which is Paul teaching to Timothy here. See my point? When we read through Timothy, we will read that sometimes he's saying something to Timothy that's really hard and really needs to be, because Timothy is going to be who Timothy is going to be. He's not just one of the low Joe Blow guys. Now, if you want to follow Paul, then you need to be able to realize in Timothy what's to you and what's not. Again, if you're a woman, there's things in Timothy that are to you, and there's things in Timothy that are to your husband, and vice versa. Well, we need to remember that there's some things in here to Timothy that are to Timothy as he's going out to preach to the people. And my point is, if you want to follow Paul, that's fine. We need to. But do you want to be a Timothy? You know, and I'm specific and say, man, do you really want to be a Timothy kind of a guy? Then you read Timothy as if God is speaking to you, not just because of the things he says, neither give heed to fables and what to tell the people. But he's going to tell Timothy, listen, Timothy, I'm holding you up stronger because you're Timothy. And if you want people to listen to you and follow you, this is what he puts on them. Now, I'll show you what I mean here. Go to chapter 4. Go to chapter 4, verse 11. Let no man despise, verse 12, I'm sorry. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You know, that's good for all of us to look at. But look at verse 11. These things command and teach. What things? Well, let's go up to the verses up there. Latter times some should depart from the faith, you know, speaking lies, forbidding to marry, commanding for meats, you know, every creature of God is good, sanctified, don't be vegetarian or vegan, you know. If thou put in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. There you go. See verse 6. See Paul, Timothy, if you teach this stuff and put these people in remembrance, they'll be a good minister, okay? Nourished in the words of faith, you know, and of good doctrine, which thou hast attained. See, he's talking to Timothy specifically. Refuse profane old wives' fables. Yeah, Timothy, stay away from that stuff. Bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit us something, but it's a little. Godliness is profitable to all things. This is a faithful saying. Da 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 da. Therefore, we both, Timothy and Paul, labor and suffer reproach because they trust in a living God. Well, that's fine. Now, he says, there are these things command and teach. Okay, so those things are commanded and are taught. That's what Timothy needs to teach, and that's fine. But it's pretty hard somebody to say to me, let no man despise thy youth. I know what he says to old guys. It's in Titus. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. He's talking to young Timothy here. So if you want to be a Timothy, till I come in verse 13, who is I come? You know, the general quick read of that verse will see till the Lord comes. Give it, no, it doesn't say till the Lord comes. It says until Paul comes. I is Paul. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of their presbytery. Are we supposed to be doing that? No, see, that was to Timothy. And do I remember where that's at? I think it's Act, I got a verse here, Acts 16. I don't know if that's where it took place or not. But when he meets Timothy, he does that. You know, he puts the gift in him and lays his hands on him. Well, see, there's what we need to do today. No, this is, in a rightly divided, we're realizing that this is what Paul did to Timothy. To Timothy, not to me, not to you. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And thy profiting may appear to all. We've always said to ourselves, "Boy, I don't see how people are going to see any profiting out of this. I lost my job. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have any friends. We all go through this stuff. Who wants what you've got?" Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He's talking to Timothy. So Timothy, keep yourself on the straight up and up. Don't let anybody bug you. And, you know, keep reading what I'm giving you here, and don't neglect what I gave to you by laying on of the hands, and meditate on it. He's telling this to Timothy. Well, that's fine. And we could respond to these things too, but we have to realize, well, that doesn't mean we, today, have had the hands laid upon us. We have to remind ourselves today that, yes, people will need to see what it is we're talking about. Our kids need to realize that we are Bible-loving people. They need to see that. But if we go too far with this stuff and lay it on us and be feeling horribly guilty, well, these are what Paul is supposed to command and teach. This is what he's supposed to do up there in the first verses. Then he tells Timothy, this is all directly written to Timothy, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And if you want to be a Timothy, then put these things on you. And I don't think everybody needs to be a Timothy. Like Paul says, if you want to be married, then you've got to give the needs to your husband and husband to the wife. You might not be able to be a Timothy. And we'll look at that. I think we're going to have time for my bonus question tonight, so we'll look at that in a few minutes. Now, I'm not disregarding these verses at all towards us. They're still written to us, but they're written to us to Timothy or through Timothy. See if this helps. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 20. Here's another one. This is chapter 5, verse 20. Okay, we'll start with 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. That's a rough one. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. See, these are actually instructions to Timothy. Look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. What are we talking about? If I touch another guy who's partaking in sin, is that going to make me a partaker of his sin? Keep myself pure? Who's he talking about there? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for the off of thine infirmities. Remember, he's talking to Timothy here. Does that mean that those things don't apply to us? Well, they do indirectly if you want to try to be a Timothy. Have you ever rebuked somebody in front of the class? That's probably one of the biggest no-nos teachers ever do. Well, I still do. Have to be careful with it and shame that poor little kid, although you do, but you know, kind of, that's why kids are the way they are. There's some good advice there. But in this day and age, just remember, that's to Timothy. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. If somebody goes and talks to Timothy, complains about this guy, you know, come on, bring some more witnesses in. This is what Timothy is being told here. So if you're going to go and complain to, you know, some pastor or something about somebody or something, make sure you got some witnesses. So there's wisdom here. There's a tremendous amount of New Testament wisdom right here with Timothy. But just keep in mind that these are written directly to Timothy as he's going to go out and teach what Paul teaches him. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa, that's a tough verse. So what are we talking about here? Let's go back to 11. But thou, O man of God, he's talking to Timothy, flee those things. What things is that? All this love about money stuff. Well, there's legitimate teaching to the fact that we don't need to be in love with money. The love of money. I mean, the root of all evil is the love of money. Stay away from that thing. Food and raiment, let us be content. That kind of a thing. And the fact that this love of money will err people from the faith, blah, 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 blah. But he says, but thou, that's Timothy, but thou, O man of God. Now, if you want to say, well, I'm a man of God, well, are you trying to be a Timothy man of God? Or are you just being happy that you're saved and you're trying to make a few things a little better in your life and you're not out there trying to preach and teach other people? You're trying to get your life together as such. Here's some advice. Stay away from the love of money. It'll kill you. But in actuality here, he's saying, but thou, Timothy, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. See? Timothy was called to what he's doing and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. And he has. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, till the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in times he goes on and adds more about Jesus. Paul is always glorifying Jesus, isn't he? He takes a statement, adds about four more verses about, like he says here, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul always just gives God the glory whenever he says anything. But let's just, for the sake of the way he says this thing here, we'll put a period after the end of 14, because the rest of 15 and 16 is just a description of Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, keep what I just showed you up here. Fight the good fight of faith. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You do all those things, and you keep that stuff without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that even makes it sound like such a tribulational application verse, doesn't it? But we know Paul is not just before the tribulation. So maybe this is why Paul is able to write Hebrews to the Jews, because as far as Paul was concerned, that was still the next item to bid other than the rapture. It's a tough little verse right there. You really got to think about it. Thou is talking to Timothy. I give thee charge, talking to Timothy. But thou, O man of God, he's talking to Timothy. And then Timothy goes out and he teaches to us what Paul has taught Timothy to teach. And this is how Timothy needs to be. So are you saying we don't have to keep this commandment without spot? Are we unrebukable? Well, let me ask you this. Are you unrebukable? Have you done nothing in your day-to-day walk that gives somebody else cause to rebuke you for something? Have you lived your day without spot? Well, my soul is spotless, that's right. But your flesh. Timothy, being who Timothy was, he needed to live the kind of life that doesn't give people an excuse to hammer him. And in some ways, I'm sure that's where we as pastors have failed, because everybody's always looking for an excuse to do what they're doing based on your, you being the pastor. Well, see, my kids messed up. Well, see, if his kids mess up, who's he to teach me about my kids? I've heard that for years. And here's the pastor down at the local, he went into the bar or something, you know, to who knows what, to tune the guy's piano, who knows whatever, and somebody sees it, they just looking for the excuse to go into a bar. I know a guy that wouldn't miss church for anything, but there was another guy that was always missing church because of his job in the field, but he was hardly ever coming to church, you know, and this other guy who worked had to be to work. Well, it got to be where neither were coming to church, looking for a reason not to come to church. Well, he didn't always have to come. Why do I? We're always looking for somebody else to justify what we're doing. If you see somebody else that's tripping over a crack in the sidewalk, then you can walk like a klutz too. So we just have to remember the two verses that's tough for Paul to talk about here, about commandments, is he's really putting a commandment on Timothy. Look at verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You know, well, a specific thing here. What is it? To avoid profane and vain babblings. Well, we know that. That's rightly dividing. If you don't rightly divide, then you're listening to profane and vain babblings. Right. No doubt. See, Paul still teaches that to us. But just keep in mind, this place right here, he's just flat telling Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, that's the scriptures, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Okay, so if we do that, and we stay away from profane and vain babblings, we won't err from the faith concerning the faith either. I understand that. And he does tell us that in chapter 2, verse 15 of 2 Timothy. Study to the soil, rightly dividing, shun profane. So yeah, Timothy does teach it, and it's taught to everybody. But it's just, we just have to remember, this all came about because of the word commandment, right? And there was a couple of statements that Paul made about the commandment, that he'd keep the commandment unspotted. And these guys in the mix all the books together into one basket are going to pull those two verses out and say, see, right there, I need to keep the commandment spotless, unrebukable. Well, we know we can't. But we also know that in the tribulation, Peter teaches that they will have to. I hope you're following my gist here. You read Timothy and you realize you're reading what Paul is telling to Timothy. And then Timothy is going to go out and he's going to teach what Paul's taught him to teach and be the example. And that's fine. So the tough stuff for a Christian, for a Paul-following Christian, is in where? It's in Timothy. Because Timothy's got to do these things. Why? Well, he's Timothy. God's put him in trust with this stuff. So he's got to walk like he needs to. Now, if Timothy messes up, what about Paul? Paul messed up, and it's not recorded. And Paul says, man, I try to do the right thing, but I can't do the right thing. When I want to do what's right, I do what's wrong. When I don't want to do what's wrong, I do what's wrong. And I'm sure Timothy went through the same thing, just because we all do. But keep in mind, when you're reading the tough stuff in Timothy, that's why it's so tough. Because if you want to be a Timothy, this is what it's going to take. If you want to be a Mrs. Timothy, Timothyette, this is what's going to take. What Paul is telling Timothy about women, that's some tough stuff. If you want to just be happy with Paul's doctrinal stuff about Romans and Ephesians and Galatians, you know, stuff like that, and Colossians, you know, that's great stuff. But if you want to be the Christian, the sincere Christian, then yeah, we need to walk as clean as we can. See, that's where the hyper-grace crowd comes in. Well, we got God's grace. Don't worry about it. Try to do the best thing you can do, and, you know, so you go to these hyper-grace churches, these mid-acts churches, and you see them dressed horribly. You see their music is terrible. You see the women here go running the show most of the time. the men, you know, they're over there doing their thing. Some of them, I got some really good pastors, and I'm not knocking that part, but they don't get into Timothy and Titus. They just don't dare. That's the meat. That's the tough stuff. That's where you please God. I mean, anyway. Now we got a couple of minutes here yet. Those are the two hard verses where Paul does talk about commandments, but he's putting them on Timothy. And I'm saying, if you want to be like a Timothy, then you're going to have yourself a challenge by following Timothy. Same thing with Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 4, he's talking to Titus. This is the stuff, Timothy. This is the stuff, Titus, that you guys need to do, because you're going to try to teach the people out there that are serious. And so when they try to do these things, remember the verses, we did this a couple weeks ago, remember the verses where Paul says, you know, Titus and Timothy, they're going to come see you. And they want to be encouraged. They're going to be encouraged because Paul knows these people are what? Because they're doing these things. Doing what? This is the tough stuff. And I've seen people start off doing the Timothy and Titus stuff and then fizzle. I've heard it preached by fathers and, you know, pastors. This stuff isn't even practical today. Well, you're probably right. We are that close to this thing being shut down. Nobody wants to please God the way Paul preaches. They are going to be wearing the clothes they're wearing. They are going to be dressing and talking like they do. And the men aren't going to be men. They don't dare. They'll go to jail for being a man today. But if you want to be beyond that hyper-grace stuff, which is, again, why I think if I lose people on the website or to the listening or whatever, it's because they go to the mid-Acts hyper-grace crowd, because they're just more fun. Nobody preaches about what they're wearing. Nobody preaches about the fact that they're working, and they shouldn't be. Well, it's not your fault that you're working. Husbands die. Husbands get hurt. Husbands are sick. We get ourselves in so much debt we have to. Kids are out of the house. You're going getting bored. You know, we can justify it any way we want. But if it doesn't match what Paul teaches, then it's going to burn up in the judgment seat. That's just bottom line. Is God going to break fellowship? No. Is God going to chastise you? No. Come on, read the scriptures. Romans 2, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Get into Corinthians, God's going to kill you if you don't take the communion correctly. That was before the King James Bible. Come on. You know, understand that stuff. Paul baptized, but he doesn't tell anybody else to baptize. It just goes on. The pastors out there, they use Peter to put the pressure on people, but they just don't go to Timothy very much. They do go to Timothy for one thing. Sure they do. They go to Timothy, chapter 3, a bishop must be a husband of one wife, and that's all they care about, right there. And that thing is so twisted and so messed up, it's like, how about verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection? That could kill a lot of pastors right there. Then his own house. Now when they're out of the house, you can't, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. You know, whatever. But the only place they go for Timothy. Now, let's do another one here. Let's do a bonus thought here. Let's go. That's the stuff. Those are the two sermons that deal with, or the two verses tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me show you something else about commandments, Paul. This is all about the word commandment. It probably has made this more confusing, but you just think about it. Like I said, this takes some thinking, this stuff here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 7, what a chapter. You know, the married thing, the divorce thing, the remarriage, as they say, you know, and should you get married again? And there's something else in here that people just don't ever consider, and I understand it very well. The difference in verse 34 between a wife and a virgin. And it really is an interesting chapter. I mean, it's a tough chapter. So here's what he says, and this is interesting. Verse 6. Paul's going to teach these husbands and wives some things here. And he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Oh, really? So Paul, who's single, wants to serve God 100%, says to them, verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." He'd like to see all men be single and out there preaching what Paul has been taught to preach. "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I," again, single. "But if they cannot contain," and we know what that means, if they can't hold it back and can't control themselves, "let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn." Now, is that burn in hell? No, it's not burn in hell. It's to have that urge, that burning inside that you got to find a magazine or a book or something. You go out there and you hurt something, whatever. You know, you got that in you and it drives you nuts. Then he talks about verse 10, "And unto the married I command." Yet he says in verse 6, "I speak this by permission and not of commandment. I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart." So Paul goes through this whole chapter about marriage. If you want to serve God, you're better off not married. And I understand that now more than ever. If you want to be married, then he says, verse 32, if you want to get married, fine. But just remember, verse 33, you're going to have to care for things that are of the world. You just are, for both parties there. You can't just be Joel spiritual and Jane spiritual. You got to take care of each other. And he talks about, you know, all the different things that have to be taken care of. What's to avoid fornication? There's no wife, every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. So this is quite a chapter. And Paul, my point is, Paul makes it sound like this is not a commandment from God. He says, I speak this by permission. But he does say, I lost it, verse 10, "I command, yet not I, but the Lord." And then at the end of this chapter, he says, last verse, "I think also that I have the Spirit of God." Well, what is that all about? Well, Paul's got the Spirit of God because what he just said was what the Spirit of God still wants him to teach to people. See my point? It's just funny that he says in verse 6, "I speak this by permission, but, you know, not of commandment. I'm not going to put this commandment on you. However, if you guys want to get married, if you don't want to get married, if you are getting married and you get across this stuff and all this kind of stuff, if you get a divorce, how can you get a divorce? Because it says about unbelieving. If they don't want to live, allow you to be the Christian you want to be in verse 14, then, yeah, you can leave. It isn't just fornication." So, see, you get into Peter, and it's different. No, you don't divorce. You don't leave. If you have to take it on the head and the chin and the face and take the bruises, you stay with him because maybe your Christianity will keep him. That's tribulation. But now, no, there's quite a number of outs for a mixed-up, mean, rotten, lousy marriage. But even you get to the last part of the chapter, what's this about a virgin? Who's this virgin? Well, These are the young ladies, and you read this thing, that are helping him within the ministry. And if she's old enough and you want to marry her, then go for it. It says this is an amazing chapter. "So that he that giveth her in marriage doeth well." Almost sounds like a father and a daughter, but it's not quite. And just remember, Paul says at the end, you know, I got the Spirit of God in me, and I taught this chapter. I didn't teach it to you like it's a commandment, but listen, God told me what to say here. That's an interesting thing. And then there's one other one. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says the same thing, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, I think it looks like. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." So what are you talking about here? Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment. I'm just telling you what I saw, and you guys are bringing me out to say this. And you need to do the right thing because you are sincere. In verse 10, he says, and here and I give my what? Advice? Yeah, it's not a commandment. It's Paul's advice. And we know Paul's got the Spirit of God, he says. And so this is just not put on like the in a commandment form. Well, that's an interesting thought. Well, it is. And if you read those verses again slowly and just read through 1 Corinthians 7, you'll see the flexibility in there. You know, yeah, don't get married again kind of thing. But if you do, it's okay. But you're going to bring baggage with you. I'll show you that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Go back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And pastors out there teach this stuff like it's commandments, you know. He says, verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Okay, seek not a wife. In other words, you know, stay single. But, and then this is, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Boy, tell that to the pastors in the pulpits today. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Sure, there's going to be problems. I call it, when you get married, you got two different sets of kids, you got baggage. You got lawsuits, you got child alimony, all this kind of stuff. You got trouble in the flesh. But if you do get married again, it's not a sin. That's a flexible chapter. That's wise. That's advice from Paul, wisdom. And we take heed to it. The commandment comes in Peter. Don't you dare leave her. Don't you dare leave him. Yeah, I didn't make it for that way. And he holds to it. Well, there you go. That's quite the stuff in the word commandment. Hope that makes sense from that part of it, you know. Anyway, there you go, folks. Think about those things. We get ourselves too caught up in the bondage of the preachers today. And it's funny because all they care about is they ask you, well, have you been married before? No. Most of them say, well, yeah, I have. Well, you can't, God isn't going to use you anymore. Where do you get that? All things are lawful. What can I say? But it's not expedient. It doesn't edify. It doesn't cause somebody to stumble. It may. Keep the marriages together at all possibility. Keep yourself as a Christian. Enjoy God's doctrine, but be a Timothy. Take on the tough stuff. And just remember, Paul is putting it on Timothy to teach this stuff. You want to take it on yourself, take it upon yourself, it's going to be tough. There you go.